from Swarthmore College.
From Swarthmore College,
this is...
This is...
This is...
This is War News Radio.
I'm Stuart Russell.
And I'm Dina Sherhan.
This week on War News Radio, Philadelphia Speaks. Five reporters take to the city of brotherly love to conduct a public opinion and awareness survey. We hear about the results, plus the analysis from experts, in a two-part narrative.
But first, a roundup of this week's news.
Syed Salim Shahzad, a prominent Pakistani journalist, was found dead Tuesday, 2 days after he disappeared on Sunday night. His body was found in the northern Gujarat district, 100 miles from his car in the place of his kidnapping. Shahzad's abduction on Sunday came just days after he published an article suggesting that Al-Qaeda had infiltrated the Pakistani Navy. Shahzad had received numerous threats from Pakistan's intelligence agency, the Directorate for Inter-Services Intelligence. Many international observers suspect the intelligence agency was involved in the murder.
As the Obama administration's July deadline for reducing the number of troops stationed in Afghanistan approaches, leaders in Washington continue to debate exactly how many troops to withdraw from the conflict. While there is popular support in Congress for withdrawing as many troops as possible, military officials have expressed concern that pulling out too rapidly would reverse the progress made by American forces and allow the Taliban to retake territories. President Obama awaits a recommendation from General David Petraeus, the commander of U.S. operations in Afghanistan, before making a decision.
A car bomb was detonated during a National Transitional Council press conference held on Wednesday in the rebel-controlled city of Benghazi in Libya. Although no casualties were reported, the explosion set fire to several cars outside of the hotel where the press conference took place. The placement of the bomb was strategic as the hotel houses rebel leaders, international journalists, and members of the National Transitional Council. The council, which represents Libyan rebel forces, attributed the bombing to supporters of Gaddafi and condemned the attack as a cowardly act of terror.
The Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh was wounded during a rebel missile attack on the presidential palace in the capital city of Sana'a on Friday. The spokesman reported that the president was performing his Friday prayers in a mosque located within the palace compound where the attack took place. Another spokesman announced that the government officials who attended the prayers in the mosque at the presidential palace, including the prime minister, Ali Mohammed Mujawid, were also wounded during the attack. The attack occurred during a large rally on Mr. Saleh's supporters near the palace, and authorities blamed the attack on tribesmen loyal to Sheikh Sadiq al-Ahmar, who have been fighting the government forces in Sana'a since Tuesday.
This is War News Radio. American news is filled with issues such as the debt, natural disasters, the Arab Spring, and unemployment. Amid all of these issues and controversies, the United States is still involved in multiple conflicts abroad, Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Libya. How salient are these issues to the public? Is there other news more pressing as the media seem to suggest? The War News Radio staff hit the streets of Philadelphia just after Memorial Day to survey public opinion and awareness of the conflicts. Eliana Bisgard Church has part one of this story.
On a hot summer afternoon in Philadelphia, tourists clad in t-shirts and carrying digital cameras flock to the historic district to see some of the most famous places from America's colonial past. They come to visit Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell, symbolic of American democracy and sources of national pride and unity. As King George III learned from the Declaration of Independence, America is a nation of many diverse and passionate opinions. War News Radio conducted a survey of these opinions towards the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts. Later in this piece, we hear from experts to explain our results. But first, we check in with the public.
I think it's horrendous that we've killed and hurt 47,000 men for these 3,000 that got hurt by airplanes. I hate it.
I'm really sorry to see people get killed, get hurt. But, you know, if not, maybe more American people get killed.
While some focused on American casualties and personal impact, others challenged the purpose of the missions.
I think there's much better ways to spend our resources than in Afghanistan.
The U.S. Department of Defense confirms 4,441 troops killed in Iraq and 1,575 in Afghanistan, as well as 43,643 wounded in action. According to Reuters, 56,000 U.S. troops still remain in Iraq, and NPR reports 100,000 are in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, a January 2011 CNN opinion poll found that 66% of Americans opposed the war in Iraq versus 33% who favored continued involvement. In a poll conducted by the Pew Research Center on May 2nd, the day after Osama bin Laden's death, 53% supported pulling out, still a majority opinion despite the death of bin Laden. War News Radio found this decreased support for the conflicts represented as we spoke to many people enjoying the summer day in Love Park.
Really, it's all about just getting it together at home and then, you know, moving on somewhere else. Because, you know, if we can't get it together here, you know, it'll be difficult somewhere else.
I think it's about as stable as it's going to get. No matter if they just have a token force there or if we leave altogether, it's still going to be the same. Doesn't really make a difference. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do.
It's time for us to get out of that whole area all together and let them settle amongst themselves.
Across the city, outside of historic Independence Hall, these concerns were echoed.
My name is Frank. I'm from Las Vegas. I voted for Obama because I thought he would end the wars over there, and he did not. I feel he didn't fulfill his promise, and I think it's the biggest problem facing our country today. I believe our leaders don't want to admit they made a mistake. I think we should pull out all our forces as quickly as possible and let the people in those countries decide their own way of governing.
The War News Radio met a majority of people who oppose American presence in the conflicts. There were others who believe it is necessary. While there were a range of opinions and awareness levels in our Philadelphia survey, it seems that the majority of Americans are not thinking of the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts. Douglas Foyle, the Douglas J. and Midge Brown Bennett Associate Professor of Government at Wesleyan University, an expert in U.S. public opinion and foreign relations, explains the shift in public opinion.
Public opinion polling has stopped polling on Iraq for the most part, except for sporadic polls here and there. But the polling results that they found are that the public has largely turned against the war. The same result is for Afghanistan, although for the Afghanistan conflicts, there have been more polls than not because the U.S. has increased troops recently as opposed to Iraq. It's been a constant sort of drawdown. By and large, about two-thirds of the American public wants to get out of Afghanistan. About the same number wants to get out of Iraq. Both the conflicts early on had widespread support. Afghanistan had very high support given the fact that Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda and the Taliban were there in the strong connection to 9/11. With the Iraq war, there was strong support for that conflict in the early going as well back in 2003, with a slow decline in support for that conflict, with the bottoming out of support late 2005 into 2006 with really the intensification of the conflict. And then from that point onwards, from 2006 onwards, it's been pretty stable but low.
Stephen Cull, director of the Program in International Policy Attitudes at the University of Maryland, describes the results of this decline and then plateau in public opinion toward both conflicts.
Focus became more about whether the U.S. should pull out and how fast it should pull out, and so on. And there has always been some pressure on the part of the American public to set some type of time frame for withdrawal. And when that time frame was finally established, people felt comfortable with that. And since that time, as we have drawn down our forces, people have been fairly comfortable with the rate of withdrawal, and it's not so foreground in their mind anymore. They are content with the U.S. withdrawing.
Cull continued by clarifying the different perceptions of the two conflicts.
While in Iraq, the course of the war was clear, why we were there, and that there was some limit. In Afghanistan, it's much less clear. And that's a completely different story because going into Afghanistan, there was very strong support for going in. It was perceived as an act of self-defense. We also had UN Security Council approval. Since then, there has been frustration with how long it has gone on, and certainty about whether the Afghan people want us, whether there's potential for success. And to the extent that there are American troops dying, they are always asking the questions, is this doing any good? Are we really going to achieve our objectives? Or are we just making some kind of statement by being there, and that for Americans is not enough.
In addition to these questions, Ra'ed Jarar, an Iraqi political analyst and consultant to the American Friends Service Committee's Iraq program, who is currently based in Washington, D.C., sees another reason Americans might have of their decreased support for the conflicts.
People in the U.S. in general have not been paying that much to the war and occupation of Iraq in the last couple of years. And that's mainly because the U.S. casualties in Iraq have been less than the years before. This is, of course, a disaster that affects the way that the U.S. foreign policy and domestic policies work. The U.S. public pressure and the U.S. public criticism to foreign invasions and wars is linked to the U.S. casualties in these wars. So if the U.S. is occupying Iraq without losing 100 U.S. soldiers a month, it seems like there is less opposition to the war.
Foyle adds another variable. He explains that America's diminished awareness of the conflicts, something War News Radio heard often in Philadelphia as people responded that they did not know much about either issue, may also explain the change in public opinion.
It's not something that is in your face on a daily basis unless the media puts it there, and when the media doesn't put it there, it recedes in importance. And what drives that media reporting are really events that are occurring in the war. So Iraq is largely out of the news because there aren't really big changes, big events going on in Iraq. Whereas in Afghanistan, there are in fact things happening, a lot of it political. I mean, obviously Osama bin Laden in Pakistan, Karzai and his attitude about how the U.S. should be pursuing the war. So those sorts of things get in the news, but it's, you know, it's kind of a drop in the bucket in terms of the volume of news coverage relative to domestic issues.
In addition to decreased casualties and diminished media attention, many people simply believe that there are more important issues facing America. Some expressed concern over mounting U.S. debt.
I'm Mark. I'm from Las Vegas. Reducing our debt would be the first priority.
It's way out of control. Way out of control, the debt. We need to spend some more money at home rather than sending it overseas. Take all those billions and billions and put it into the infrastructure of this country, the homeless, jobs, things like that.
I think it's pretty simple that if you don't have money, you can't spend it. And I mean, that's a huge problem. And I think that is more important than our wars. They're global wars. They're not just us. And I think we should step back.
Others felt that government attention and funds should be focused elsewhere.
I'm big on education, I see a lot of my public schools. I live in West Philly. A lot of the public schools around my way, like West Philly High, don't get a lot of the stuff that they should be getting, you know, so I think it would be the best use with me would be for schools.
Americans seem to be most concerned with the budget deficit, an issue they see as much more significant than the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts. Foyle explains.
If you look at what issue the public thinks is the most important issue in terms of priorities and things like that, neither one of these conflicts, even if you put them together, are considered to be a top priority for the American public. By and large, about 70% of the public, when you ask them about what the most important issue is, it's going to be one of two things. Some version of the economy and jobs, and if you combine that with budget deficits and government spending, that's about 70%. To 80% of the issues that the public think are the most important issue, with Iraq and Afghanistan. If you put those two together, about 4%, 5% of the American public says it's a top priority. So even though the public will give you attitudes about both of these conflicts, it's really not the top thing on their mind.
Foyle added that Americans are so concerned with the economy because it is something that visibly affects their daily lives. Pink slips, reduced hours, furlough days. Whereas with the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, you need to know someone in order to feel the effects. Though Americans are primarily concerned with the economy, as War News Radio saw with many people in Philadelphia, Gerard believes that the focus away from the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts is detrimental.
I personally think this is very dangerous. It sends the wrong message to Iraqis and Afghans. The message is, if you don't kill us, if you don't harm us enough, we won't care about your wars. We won't care about your occupation. If you were violent enough, we will actually start protesting against the war. I think this attitude is dangerous because a better attitude from us here in the U.S. would have been to oppose wars and occupation, regardless of the price that we are paying to them.
This is War News Radio. While speaking to many people in Philadelphia, it seemed that the conflicts are often very far from public consciousness. However, War News Radio found many for whom the conflicts run close to home, illuminating the importance for many Americans. Sarah Dwyer has the second part of War News Radio's Philadelphia Public Opinion and Awareness Survey.
According to a 2010 public awareness poll conducted by the Cohen Research Group, for the Coalition for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans, 2 out of 3 Americans know someone, whether a family member, friend, acquaintance, or colleague, who has served in the conflicts. These direct relationships show the continuing relevance of these conflicts as their friends and families deal with the challenge of service. Even walking around Philadelphia on a boiling hot Tuesday afternoon, this was apparent, and the significance of our service members to these people and our society as a whole is confirmed by experts.
Thank you.
dad is in the Air National Guard. He's a chief, so he sends a lot of his guys over there. And his stress actually affects his family life quite a bit. Worrying about guys over there, and his job has become very, very stressful because of the war. So seeing that side of it is kind of interesting, and being a part of that stress is definitely a negative impact on my life.
Others, like Colleen Walsh, a young woman sitting on a shaded bench in the park, sunglasses perched on her ponytail, empathize with the struggles these servicemen and women and their families face.
I do a lot of traveling, and anytime I'm in an airport and I see military, I kind of get a little, it's almost like, I wouldn't say starstruck, but like awestruck. I'm just like my heart is leaping, but it's more out of joy and pride than sadness. But I'm just really happy for them that they get to come back and see their family.
For most Americans, though, it's hard to know what it's like to have a loved one in service. Amy Fairweather, Program Director of the Coalition for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans and Directors of Swords to Plowshares, a veterans service organization providing housing, health services, benefits advocacy, and employment help, speaks to the impact the conflict has had on Americans who have experienced the realities of deployment.
I think that there's a small population in America who are deeply and profoundly impacted by these wars. The impact on their lives can be just devastating. Repeated deployments, financial issues, divorce, suicide, injuries, family separation. You know, think about children who have had a father or mother deployed repeatedly during the first 5 or 10 years of their lives, and how that impact is going to revisit us for generations. And people who don't have a personal connection are feeling no impact except for, you know, the occasional reading an article and feeling perhaps responsible or empathetic. But the profundity of being at war as a family over this period of time, the stress of that is something that I think most people have no concept of.
Israel, a young man just leaving work, in a bright purple button-down, gray slacks, and briefcase in hand, can relate to these stresses.
About a year ago, my dad just came home from war. He was in Afghanistan in the army. It sucks. Luckily, I was able to text message him every day. But yeah, it sucks. It was hard. He's suffering from post-traumatic stress. His heart's messed up. His right arm's all messed up. It's been rough. But honestly, I don't really feel as though we have any reason to be over there. And then in the process, a lot of our fathers or mothers even, everybody gets sent over there and people are dying. The only reason it's important is because people are dying. If it wasn't for that, no. I wish we could just kind of go on with the day without it.
The issues Israel has faced with his father are not uncommon. A 2009 study from Stanford University estimates that as many as 35% of service members deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Fairweather further explains these challenges facing returning servicemen and women and the obstacles they may face once here.
The levels of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury because of all the IEDs and the mortar explosions that are going on are just stunningly high. Anyone who has a traumatic brain injury has some diminished capacity. You know, that's a tremendous, tremendous problem. We're also seeing extremely high rates of suicide, which is all connected, I think, with the post-traumatic stress, and then that exacerbated by the stresses of daily life, reunification with family or dissolution of family, inability to find or keep a job, coming up against bureaucracies that are extremely slow in terms of getting disability compensation from the VA, getting health care, GI Bill, when you're already struggling with injuries or the stress of war. So those are some of the, you know, the very, very big issues. I think the other thing that is happening now is sort of a low-grade burnout of the fact that this kind of stress on the individual service members and on their families over such an extended period of time, I think it's like having a fever and not getting better. It has this erosion of life and the ability to feel safe, feel productive, feel loved, feel, you know, all the things that we think about as what we strive for in life. But when you're at war and the rest of the country isn't, that can just be extraordinarily damaging to the psyche.
Fairweather agrees with the potential impacts the conflicts will have on America. She believes that our government should be fulfilling its health care and benefits promises to returning servicemen and women with much greater expediency, and that American citizens also have a duty to those fighting in these conflicts.
Structurally, the fact that it can take 6 months to a year to just get through the first claims process for a disability claim with the VA is inexcusable. The fact that it can take 4 years or more to get through the appeals process to get those benefits is inexcusable. The fact that that is not honored in a timely way is tremendously damaging and shameful. And every American is responsible for that and should take some responsibility for that, whether that is in the form of, you know, writing a letter to your congressperson, showing up, giving money, making your voice heard. On the smaller scale in your own community, there are all kinds of organizations. Pick one that touches your heart, you know, whether it's about education or mental health or children or survivors, and see what you can do for them. And also what that provides that I think is more important is a connection and finding out and reaching out and embracing the people in this country who are fighting these wars. And through that, finding meaning in what you're giving back to them.
Ra'ed Jarar, the Iraqi political analyst and consultant to the American Friends Service Committee's Iraq program War News Radio heard from earlier, further explains the cost of the conflicts.
Now, in addition to the money that we've been spending, I think the number of U.S. Citizens who have been killed and injured in these wars is really terrifying. For example, in Iraq alone, we're talking about tens of thousands of U.S. troops in Iraq who were killed and injured in the last 8 years alone. The number of people who were killed is more than the number of Americans killed in 9/11, and the number of people injured and traumatized is horrifying. I mean, we will live the sequences of this war for the next decade. The number of U.S. soldiers who are committing suicide and have been committing suicide now is actually higher than the number of those who are being killed in the field. We will pay the price of this war on the long run.
For War News Radio, in collaboration with reporters Clara Izupidis, Eliana Bisgard Church, Stuart Russell, and Dina Sharhan, I'm Sarah Dwider.
That's our show for this week.
War News Radio is a production of Swarthmore College.
Visit us online to listen to archive shows, learn more about the program, or subscribe to our podcast. That's at warnewsradio.org.
You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook to keep up with War News Radio between shows. Look for the links on our site.
Our reporting and behind-the-scenes crew this week include Clara Izupidis, Eliana Bisgard Church, and Sarah Dwider. Our producer is Jim McMillan. I'm Stuart Russell.
And I'm Dina Sharhan. Until next time, thanks for listening.